bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
If you listen to the show, you know that I like to share a lot of personal experiences. Well, I grew up with a mother and I have a daughter who are both empaths. So you might be wondering what that means. These are very creative, very sensitive people who really absorb what is going on around them. Now, we've had a lot of difficult things happen with the election and with bombings and with just regular life. There's so much going on and it can be overwhelming for all of us. Well, if you're an empath, it's even more difficult. There are so many gifts that come with this. And joining us to talk about this is a fantastic Dr. Judith Orloff. I'm such a big fan. We're going to be talking today about her book, The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. Dr. Orloff, thrilled to have you on Talk Healthy Today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be on with you.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on. I was so glad when I got this book because I, you know, been beside myself at times where I don't know what to do. My daughter's so sensitive. My mother has passed away now. It's been over 20 years, but she was so sensitive and telling me if I'm on the right path in terms of what I'm saying about an empath and what can we do?
Well, first of all, in the beginning of the book, there's an assessment test to tell if you are an empath. So there's certain questions that you need to ask yourself, such as, you know, have I been labeled as, quote, overly sensitive all my life in a derogatory way? Do I prefer being alone to replenish myself rather than being with people? Am I sensitive to noise, smells, or excessive talking? Do I take on other people's stress in my own body and experience emotional hangovers or even physical hangovers? Because some empaths take on physical symptoms. And so, and I'm an empath. I'm also a psychiatrist. And so I incorporate both my empathic skills and my conventional medical skills to help my patients. But the tools that I've shared in this book and that I practice every day, I've had to stop taking on other people's stuff. Otherwise, that's the downside of being an empath. The upside is that you're so empowered. You're so intuitive. You can feel and sense and know what's going on in other people. And you have deep compassion and creativity. And so the point of the book is getting the all the empaths that are everywhere in the world now, you know, to the place of being empowered.
Yeah, because right now, for her, it feels very disempowering. And for
me, it feels,
when you don't have the tools, because you just see this person soaking in all the negativity. And like I mentioned, there's so much negativity going on. And so book has just been a lifesaver. You know, I've been implementing it. You have 20 tips for nurturing empathic children, you know, from encourage your child's sensitivities and intuition, honor your child's feelings, educate family members and teachers about your empath child. You know, one of the things that's interesting was when she was 2.5, she got a diagnosis of sensory processing disorder. And I heard you talking about that on another program. And for us, to be honest, it was actually really helpful because it was, we were wondering, like, why is my child crying when the wind blows on her face? And why does she never sleep? And why is she just so oversensitive and stimulated? And I kind of had a sense of why, because it was like, oh my gosh, this is my mother all over again. But I saw it as a positive thing of actually knowing there was something, but you see it more in a different way. Talk to us about that.
Right. I don't feel that being an empath is a disorder at
sure.
all. And I think sensory processing disorder has its usefulness in that it does legitimize people with a lot of sensitivity in conventional medicine.
Yeah.
However, as long as it's looked at as a disorder, it's not looked at as a gift.
True.
So, in which I totally believe being an empath is a gift, it, that you need to learn how to cope with so that you don't take on the stress of the world, because empaths are emotional sponges.
Mm, they are.
And if I walked around totally open, absorbing all my patients' stress or absorbing just the stress of random people down the street, I would be dead. I wouldn't be able to function. I'd be so exhausted. And when a lot of my patients come to me with agoraphobia, anxiety, depression, all kinds of mystery symptoms, fibromyalgia, and a lot of these symptoms are due to just being on sensory overload so chronically. And what happens then is that gets your cortisol going in your body, the stress hormones, which beats down your immunity, which then leads to autoimmune diseases. And so, you know, it snowballs in the wrong direction. But once empaths learn how to not be on sensory overload all the time and really take control of that, then the release on their immune system, their body, is huge. So they start getting more energy, more optimism, more ideas and inspiration. And so once you learn the tools to not absorb, therefore decrease the stress hormones that come from absorbing, it's a miracle. I've treated so many empath patients, and on this book tour, I've seen so many empaths just get the light come back in their faces again when they know who they are, they know what they are, and know what to do about it. It's a huge relief.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, you know, some of the common challenges you write in the book, becoming overstimulated, absorbing the stress and negativity of others, feeling things intensely, experiencing emotional and social hangovers. I mean, my daughter will regularly cry that she doesn't fit in. She's like, I don't fit in. I don't belong in this world. And you talk about yourself in the book as a child of not fitting in. And that's one of the criteria as well.
Right. I didn't feel like I fit in part because there weren't any other children like me.
Yes.
And my parents, who were both doctors, just told me to toughen up, which made me feel like there was something wrong with me.
Of course.
But it's not only me. That's a tape that many parents have because they just simply don't know better. It wasn't that my parents didn't love me. It's just they wanted me to be stronger, and they didn't know how to say, well, honey, maybe you could try this meditation technique, or maybe you could visualize a shield around yourself to protect yourself, or maybe you could start doing deep breathing to center yourself when you feel off. That would have been helpful, but I never got that.
That is really hard, and I feel blessed that my daughter did, because like you, my mother never got that either.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It was really hard for her. And she also felt like nobody understood her. Nobody really knew. And then she also had fibromyalgia. And
yeah.
She had really severe food sensitivities to the point where she could eat like broccoli, rice, and, you know, brown rice and chicken. And then she used to bring her food places. And I was like, oh, there's Diane. She's just a little wacky. And like, instead of being like, oh, she's really sensitive. There's something going on with her.
Right. And interestingly, there's a chapter in the Empath Survival Guide on empaths and addictions and food, because sometimes empaths put on a lot of weight in order to have the fat buffer the capacity to absorb stress. So it really slows down the absorptive function of being an empath when you have a lot of fat around you. And so a lot of the 20th century faith healers were women who were typically obese.
Oh.
Because they felt like they needed to have all that fat on them to not absorb their clients' pain.
Oh, wow. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Isn't that interesting?
It really is. You know, recently there's been some horrible terrorist attacks. And I know when we put the podcast up, they're going to be up there for a long time. But my daughter took it so hard. And she started crying and saying, how am I going to save the world? What am I going to do? And I said, honey, it's not your responsibility. You know, you just be a good person and be who you are. But it's just, it's crushing. So what do you say, especially in these difficult times, for parents who have children
really
like this?
Well, that's really typical of an empath. Child to say. They all want to, they're like indigo children. They have
yes.
a great conscience. They care about what happens to the environment and the world, and it's causing them a lot of pain. You know, what's going on? And so it's a very natural question. I mean, I think you can just validate her for one thing. But tell her the first thing she can do is to take care of herself and save herself. So she gets stronger, and she practices some of the techniques in the book. And she gets a form of success in terms of learning to work with her porousness or her ability to sponge up everything. And also, so important for empaths to learn, it's not their responsibility to take on the angst of the world. Because many empaths grow up believing that to be a compassionate person, you have to take on someone else's pain. And you can't survive as an empath if you continue with that belief system. And plus, it's not true. As a psychiatrist, I'm with so many people, patients over the years. If I were to absorb all their pain, I could never have lasted in my profession. And I believe we can be even more effective, and you can tell her this, or any empath that you know, by holding, you know, positive vision for people, by being loving with them, and letting them do their own work, and giving them guidance, but not taking anything away from them. And so in my workshops, that's kind of the first philosophical belief that we address that needs changing for survival and self-preservation.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because especially in the work that you do, you know, when I was in high school, I thought I was going to go into drug counseling. I wanted to work with people who are addicted to drugs and help them. But I have a lot of empathic qualities as well. And I felt like I could never do this because it's going to destroy me. So how did you do this? I mean, how did you even come to this way of realizing all the ways to take care of yourself and then to teach that to others who are empathic or empaths?
Well, because I was so miserable and I was taking on so much stuff from other people that as I grew and learned, particularly as a physician, learning about the body and then learning about intuition, which has been my passion all my life, and the subtle energy bodies, it suddenly became very clear that this is what's going on. And so, you know, I began to formulate it in terms of subtle energy systems in the body and how empaths sense energy. And these systems are very real, but conventional medicine doesn't believe they exist. So, you know, that's how I kind of pieced the pieces together. And I got my aha, and then I knew what to do, so I tried out certain things. It was kind of a path I was forging, you know, for my own survival. And so I learned all these things. Plus, you know, I had wonderful teachers and, you know, many Buddhist teachers, and I have a Taoist teacher who, you know, teaches us not to absorb the energy of other people. So combination of teachers, research, living, and I put together a formula for myself that works. And, of course, it's ever-changing, constantly discovering new things. And I put it all together in one book. And I've been writing about empaths since the 90s, but I felt like finally I wanted to put it all together in one book so that empaths can know what to do, empaths at work, empaths, you know, in their health, empaths in their emotions, empaths in raising children or being an empath parent, empaths in intuition. Like, are you an animal empath? Do you have a communion with animals? Are you a plant empath? Are you really good with plants and can feel them? You know, all these beautiful skills. I just wanted to organize it all. And I have.
You have.
In the Empath Survival Guide.
You did a fantastic job. And my daughter's an animal empath all the way.
Ooh.
She is so in tune. And she's really imaginative and creative. And she thinks she taught the squirrels how to cross the road safely. But then she'll tell her friends that. And they'll be like, oh, that's ridiculous. You're not magic.
Exactly.
And then she gets really upset because to her it feels really real. And she feels like she's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, you can say, honey, I totally get where you're coming from, but not everyone will.
Yeah, that's what I say. Good. Glad I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now for you as a kid, because again, you didn't get the support from your parents. Did you just end up feeling like I'm never going to fit in?
Yeah, I did feel that way. And I, you know, in my teens and early 20s, I escaped that feeling or tried to by getting very heavily involved with drugs and shutting it out because it was so terrifying to me. The disconnect I felt with the human race because I couldn't find like-minded souls. You know, as a child, I was an only child, and I was very much alone with this. And until I started getting teachers or, you know, those who guided me in the process. But before then, it's a very horrible feeling. You know, I had fantasies that a spaceship would land in my front yard and come and take me to my true home. And it's very common when I give my lectures on empaths, everybody raises their hand. They all feel like they don't belong in it. And it's because you don't belong here because you're here to create a better world.
Yeah,
and you need to tell
difficult.
Your daughter that and all those beautiful empaths. I mean, the biblical passage that the gentle will inherit the earth. That's powerful, what that means. And I truly believe that's why I'm out with this book now, to really empower all the gentle, loving people, you know, who are not aggressive and who don't pound down doors, but have powerful, heart-centered energies that can create an energy of love on our planet. But they have to learn skills in order to feel comfortable being in their bodies and going out there and being the role models for this.
Well, let's jump into some of those skills. Share some of these for us, Dr. Orloff.
All right, a big skill that empaths have to learn is setting limits and boundaries with people. There's a chapter on energy vampires in the book, and these are people who can suck you dry. And you have to learn how to say no. No is a complete sentence. You know, empaths have to know this. No is a complete sentence. And so you have to be able to say, no, I'm too tired. I don't want to go out tonight. I'm sorry, I have to break this plan. No, I really, you know, can't listen to this nonstop talker. Please excuse me. I have to interrupt you, and I'm, you know, I have to go on to talk to somebody else. So you're not tormented by an onslaught of words at a party where somebody corners you to tell you their life story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no. And empaths don't like to do that because they're people pleasers, and they want to make other people happy. They want to please other people. They want them to be happy. And this has to be really reorganized in their own mind, that being a people pleaser is not healthy for them. And it's totally fine to say no. And there's a chapter on empaths and narcissists, because there's often a toxic attraction between these two.
Mm.
Because the narcissists, of course, love the giving, loving, intuitive empath. And the empath only sees the false facade that the narcissist gives in the beginning, which can be pretty dynamic and charming and seemingly caring. But narcissists have what's called an empathy deficient disorder, which I write about, which means they are not capable of empathy as we know it. They're neurologically wired in a different way. And an empath can't keep trying to win a narcissist's love. It will never work, and it will cause enormous destruction in the empath's life. So if you identify with that, you can go right to the section on that. So you can identify the narcissist. It's important that empaths have a plan on how to identify the toxic people in their lives. And so I go through different types of toxic people they might encounter. So they're aware of the signs. You know, they're aware, they're looking. Or they can do an inventory in their lives and find them now. And then develop a plan for how to handle them, rather than just being run over by people who are going to steal your energy.
Yeah, and another thing you talk about, too, is energy vampires, speaking of energy stealers. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there are different kinds. There's the narcissist, who is the most dangerous of all energy vampires, because they lack empathy, and that's a big deficit. You know, to me, it's a crippling condition. But empaths need to recognize it as that, so they don't get involved, or if they are involved, they can set limits, they can lower their expectations. They have to realize, the only way to really work with a narcissist, if, let's say it's your boss, is to frame things in terms of how it will serve them. Because they're just ego-oriented people. And so when your expectations go down, then you can have a better handle on dealing with them. And then there are the lesser energy vampires I talk about, the nonstop talker, the drama queen, the victim mentality who keeps you on the phone for 2 hours and, you know, about going around in circles with all their problems and not looking for solutions. So learning how to have what I call the 3-minute phone call, where you just say, I can listen for 3 minutes. I love you. You're my friend. But unless you want to get into solutions, I've got to go. And you say it with a really nice tone of voice. Not blaming, demeaning, putting them down, but you say it. And so all this is protective for empaths.
There's so much in the book, Dr. Orloff. You know, when you just said tone of voice, my daughter is so sensitive. She'll be like, Mommy, you're using that tone again. And I honestly have no idea. And I'll ask my husband, are you using a tone? He's like, I don't hear it. And I try my best, but I'm like, I don't even know what. So I think I have to tape record myself, because she insists. And if it's even just the littlest bit, I don't know, not her. Yeah, she's so sensitive. And then I feel like, gosh, it's really difficult sometimes to communicate with her because I'm nervous I'm going to say something wrong. I mean, I think it's hard for the caregiver, too. And I'm not, I hope that's okay to say that. I'm just being honest.
Well, you can ask her to mimic it for you so that you can get an idea, or you can record it. She can record it when you're doing it.
That's a good idea.
Just get her phone out and record it, and that's both your understanding that that's okay that you do that, just so you can get a better understanding, because I think she'll benefit a lot if you look at her as your teacher and that you're open to learning about her.
Now, when you say intuitive, what does that word mean to you? How do you define that, and what does that mean in terms of someone who's an empath?
Well, I look at empathy as a form of intuition. It's a way that your heart can reach out to someone else and sense what they're feeling. And it's the deepest interconnectivity that we have. But intuition is non-linear knowledge that comes through gut feelings or knowings or flashes or dreams. It's not part of the linear thought mechanism. And so you listen to intuition with your gut and with your heart. And empathy is the same thing. You listen with your gut and your heart, and you allow yourself, your own energy, to reach out to another's to gain information about them, or simply to vibe with them and with where they're at, and give them support with, I know where you're, what you're feeling on an energetic level, and you can just kind of stay with them in that vibration.
Do you ever find that sometimes there's frustration when you want somebody to understand where you're coming from and they just don't? How do you explain that to a child where, like, I said, be who you are, and if your friends don't accept you, but that's easier said than done, because the empath is so sensitive, right, that it's sort of like it's their nature to want to care.
Yeah, but she needs to go towards people who will be able to understand her, even like one friend.
Yes, that's
right.
Now,
empaths often just have one friend. Like, I always would have one best friend and hang out with my best friend. Empaths don't usually have tons of friends, which is fine. But you just have to accept that's the case.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I think when you can be in a more creative environment and to be with more indigo children, we just have a few minutes left, but we mentioned that term earlier. What is that for people who aren't familiar?
Oh, they're the empaths who are born during this day and time. They're children who are way far beyond their years, who have a social consciousness and who have a real caring for the world and want to make it a better place, but they have these sensitivities that need to be dealt with in a positive way with the parents. But they want to, a lot of indigo children want to really improve the world. I have one patient whose daughter who is an empath, an indigo, and she wants to go help with the environment. She's 12 years old, and she's already having those impulses.
Oh, that is so lovely. Dr. Orloff, I love having you on the program. I just think you are such a gem. And the book is The Empath Survival Guide, Life Strategies for Sensitive People. Really a life-changing book. I mean, I've been reading it with my daughter, and I'm implementing the strategies.
Nice.
And I just want to thank you so much. Tell us all the ways we can learn more about you and your fantastic work.
Thank you. Well, you can go to my website, which is drjudithorloff.com. And I have a free empath support newsletter, which you can sign up for there, where I'll give tips and tricks to deal with empathic capacities. And then also I have a Facebook empath support community with about 8,000 empaths, and everyone's welcome to join. It's a closed group, so you have to apply to it, and I'll okay you. But it's a way to be with a kindred tribe of sensitive people, where it's all okay, and your daughter might want to join.
I was thinking that's what she needs. I mean, she has one friend that lets her be herself, even though she doesn't really relate to it in the same way, she allows her to be. I'd love her to find another empath, though, whether it's adult or a child, to have that tribe feeling.
Treasure that one friend.
I agree. Dr. Orloff, you are fabulous. It was so great having you on. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy Today. Get involved with us on social media, on Facebook at Talk Healthy Today Podcast, Instagram at talk_healthy_today, at Twitter and Snapchat at Talk Healthy 2. And Dave, thanks so much for listening, and stay well.